Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is New Mexico State University Department Head of Special Education and Communication Disorders, Dr. Marlene Salas-Provence. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Well, thank you, Emily. I'm so happy to be here today.
You're welcome. How far has special education come in the last 40 years?
Well, I think the most important thing that has happened with children with special needs is that they are now included in our schools and in our classrooms. We are very proud of the things that we can do to help these children today. And we want these children to be educated, just like we want our children without special needs to be educated.
What are some of the special needs that are more prevalent?
I think one of the biggest concerns that we have today is children with autism. It seems like we see more and more children being diagnosed with autism. Actually, it's 1 in 64 children now being diagnosed with autism. And fortunately, here at New Mexico State, we're training graduate students in ways to work with children with autism. We're working with Las Cruces Public Schools to train teachers. They have special classrooms for children with autism. So I think we are at the cutting edge of techniques for helping children with autism in the community. One of the other great things is we work with Hearts for Autism in the community and Aprendamos Intervention Team, and they have a summer New Amigos camp for children with autism. And here at the Edgar R. Garrett Speech and Hearing Center, we actually have a new social skills camp that parents can come to with their children and learn how to help their children in some of the challenges that they have communicating.
How old are the children when they first find out they have autism?
Well, parents know very early, actually. Parents probably know by the time the children are 2 years of age. And that is one of the biggest challenges we have, is providing the appropriate evaluation in a timely manner. In fact, it can take, in southern New Mexico, up to 3 years to get the diagnosis of autism, and we're doing everything we can to get the services that we can to these families and these children, because we do know that the earlier we identify them, the earlier we can start providing services.
What are some of the challenges that you've had to face with special education?
I think that in education, sometimes we have you know, we have teachers that we try to recruit into the field of special education, and sometimes it's not a real appealing field, but it's a very satisfying field. Once you get into the field of special education and speech-language pathology, there's no return, because basically you fall in love with these children. You know what to do with them, you can help the children improve, and you see the improvement. And I think although it's a challenge sometimes getting people into the field, once they're in the field, it is such a satisfying area. I've been in it for many, many years and wouldn't do anything else.
What inspired you to get involved?
Well, many years ago, I wanted to do something that had to do with talking. So I thought, what can I do? And I thought a classroom teacher, maybe a speech therapist. And then I found the field of speech pathology here with Dr. Edgar Garrett, who is a namesake for the Edgar R. Garrett Speech and Hearing Center. And then I fell in love with a group of children that had cleft lip and palate, and that was it. I never turned back. We have a cleft palate center here at the university, so families that have children with cleft lip and palate can get services here. So that is my passion. I actually take students to work abroad, and students work here in our clinic with children with cleft palate.
And what local organizations? You mentioned Aprendamos, Are there other local organizations that are helping?
Oh, definitely. Of course, the Las Cruces Public Schools are partner in everything that we do that has to do with special needs. And then we have Tresco Tots that, you know, a lot of the children receive services through Tresco Tots. So, there's a lot of community organizations that are helping us to work with children. We couldn't do it ourselves. I mean, we're limited in the things that we can do. We train the students, and then the students go out and take the jobs at these different facilities in town.
What are some of the needs in this community?
I think the needs in this community are that we don't have enough special educators. We have another great need that we have is we have a lot of children with hearing impairment, and we don't have enough teachers that are trained in the area of hearing to work with these children in sign language or to teach them to speak if they get cochlear implants. Now we have a new audiology clinic where families can come to have their children's hearing tested. Do you know that in New Mexico, we have the greatest degree of children who are lost to follow-up after they receive their first hearing test as infants? We just lose them. You know, we don't know where they go. They just leave. We see them again when they start having trouble in school. So we very, very much have a great need to take care of children that are diagnosed with hearing loss very early. So, and again, there's just a great unmet need for professionals to provide these services.
So there's that need then for the parents to learn more about it.
Absolutely. I think that's probably the critical piece. I think that what we want to do is we want to train parents, because parents really are the first teachers. Parents are the ones that will be there with the children every day. In fact, in the audiology clinic, we just had a free seminar for parents to learn about middle ear infections in their babies and what to do, because middle ear problems result in delayed speech and language. And many parents don't know that. But we had these parents learning about what are the symptoms when your baby has a hearing impairment or a hearing loss or an ear infection. So yes, teaching parents is the way that we're probably going to make our greatest impact.
What are some of the misperceptions that people have about special education?
I think most people, when they look at a child with a special need, immediately they feel or they see that they think that that child maybe is not intelligent. That's probably the biggest misperception. A lot of these children are very intelligent. They just haven't had the services that they've needed to be able to get ahead or move ahead. One of the biggest things, as you may know, is children with reading disabilities. I mean, that's a big need in this community. A lot of those children are very, very smart, but they have a learning disability. Sometimes we see children with syndromes. Some of these children, you know, maybe their facial appearance isn't as appealing as we might think a face should be. But a lot of these children have normal intelligence. So again, when we look at children with special needs, we think we have to do something special for them. And yes, we do, but those children are already special. You know, they do great things for us.
So we have come a long way from, let's say, 40, 50 years ago, when people, I remember as a child being afraid. The first time I came across someone who had Down syndrome, at that time it wasn't called that.
Right.
So how has that improved in the last years?
Well, I think that we provide different opportunities for these children. Of course, there's Special Olympics, and we see the great things that these children can do. And also, families are very proud of their children. These children are accomplishing great things. You know, it may be something different, but it's still great. So they're not hidden anymore. We don't have these children staying home from school. They're going to school. They're getting educated. And parents and professionals are very proud of their successes.
I've even seen some that are models now.
Absolutely.
And they've been on television and
right.
movies.
Right.
So how can you inspire people to get more involved?
Well, I think that any time someone has an opportunity to provide a positive word to a child that maybe has a special need, that is enough. That child will take that, and that may make their day. If you're a student that is interested in this at all, you know, look at the professions of speech language pathology, of special education teacher. These are wonderful professions that actually are a straight pipeline to jobs. There's a great need out there.
And they pay well, don't they?
They pay well, yes. And they're a lifetime career as well. You can do a lot of things in the area of special education. And so it's something that, okay, now I'm going to work with children with autism. Well, maybe I'm going to now work with children that have a reading problem, or children that have a learning problem, or children that have a syndrome. You really can be very flexible in terms of your career path.
Where can people get more information on how they can get involved?
Well, I think the first thing is just to call to the Department of Special Education and Communication Disorders, and I can give that number. And that's at 646-2402. And we'll be willing to answer any questions you might have. Families that you're concerned that maybe your child has some kind of special problem or special need, just call us. We'll let you know. We'll do an evaluation. We'll help you.
Thank you so much for coming out and being a bridge to the community here on Puentes with Dr. Marlene Salas-Provence.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Department Head of Special Education and Communication Disorders. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.